they're enormously important. You know, I often say that if you want to know the opportunities or problems in the organization, 90% of the good ideas are right with the employees. And so by looking at those surveys, you can begin to detect all sorts of issues within the organization because it's direct feedback from employees. One of the terrific things at SBA was we had over 80% participation in the surveys because we worked so hard to get people to engage. And I used it in many cases as a roadmap for some of the issues that we saw.
And in what ways do you actually use this data, and how does it actually help you make management decisions? I know there's a lot of people, you know, managers go, oh, you know, it's just complaining people. But I think there is an opportunity to sort of use that data in sort of innovative ways.
Oh, absolutely. For example, what you'll find in the federal government, and it was even more pronounced at SBA, is there's a broad feeling among employees that that leadership doesn't deal with underperformers. Now, that can mean developing people. That can mean providing them tools to do their job more effectively. That can mean putting them on corrective action plans. There's also a feeling among many people that they don't get regular training to be able to do their jobs effectively. Now, there's nothing worse than wanting to be excellent as an employee, but not having the tools or the training to do your job. And that allows you to say, okay, this is sort of the top issue here. Now, let's dig into it. Another thing that we found was that many of our managers were not effective in conflict resolution or team building. Well, one of the most important drivers of organizational effectiveness is the quality of your supervisory team. Those people in middle management have to be terrific about developing people, about instructing them, about developing a collaborative team atmosphere, and when there are problems, resolving them constructively. So when you see these things, you can begin to figure out how to unleash the power of the organization by specifically addressing elements that come through these surveys.
It's interesting because I think we all talk and we all say the importance of leadership within an organization, and yet my sense often is senior managers and executives of large organizations often underestimate the amount of impact that they can have on their own organization.
It's enormous. And the thing I think that's important to realize is it's not just getting up there and telling people what they want to hear or giving the right messages. Organization, people are very savvy, and I think they also see the heart of the individual who's leading. They see the actions of the individual who's leading. So, you know, to be an effective leader, you not only have to listen hard to the employee base and take action based on that, but they also have to see that you care about the mission of the organization, that everything you do with respect to the initiatives that you're driving, with respect to how money's being allocated, with respect to how people are being developed, drive the mission of that organization. Now, you know, we're here talking about the best places to work ranking that came out of the broad survey. But what I have found is whenever there's been a large organizational problem, going in and doing very targeted surveys or doing work sessions with employees really can give a leader deep understanding of a business problem. And the other thing is by doing that, you can get employees to develop creative solutions, and when you drive those solutions, they own them, they implement them, and then that makes them lasting. It can't all be from the top down. Employees at the bottom and in the middle of the organization have got to engage and drive that stuff forward. And if you ask them and you engage them, they are terrific at driving solutions.
And you came into SBA just after Katrina, and the agency was really being almost bludgeoned about the issues that it had post-Katrina and dealing with a lot of the small business issues with down in New Orleans. And then you came over to HUD, where, of course, the housing mess was just almost exploding or imploding. Those have to be particularly difficult times to come in and where frontline folks are really looking to their leader to sort of point a direction.
Yeah, they were both very difficult times. And you're right. In crisis, people are looking for leadership. But the other thing I would say is in crisis, when you provide them leadership, people really respond. I cannot tell you how proud I am of that group at SBA who was just in the middle of an absolute avalanche. And this was about 11 months after Katrina, and there were still about 100,000 people in the Gulf who had not received their loans yet. And we pulled the team together. We did a ton of customer interviews, employee interviews. We looked at the data on where the problems were. We pulled our internal team together. And we went into a three-day lockdown, and we worked arduously for 3 days on mapping the course forward. And then coming out of that, we really worked in a very focused manner to execute all the plans that came out of those sessions. Now, much of what came out of those sessions were ideas from the very people that had been buried by the problem. But by pulling back and giving them an opportunity to take a breath, look at the problems, collaborate, and design the solution forward, the very people who were unable to perform effectively were the ones who drove the solution and became real heroes. It's thrilling when you see, and this wasn't a bunch of political appointees telling them what to do. These were government employees who were engaged to find solutions, who owned the solutions, and who drove them. And it was just, for me as a leader, it was thrilling to be a part of, and I just can't tell you how proud I am of those people.
And some of the most remarkable leadership things that I have seen don't end up getting tied specifically to the leader, and I've seen situations where a leader will almost create an umbrella where people feel the ability to offer up those ideas and almost to innovate. It almost goes on, and it becomes sort of ingrained into the culture, and that has to be the moments where you go, oh my goodness, score, this is what I do this for.
Yeah, that's a big point because, if you're a strong personality and you get in there, you have to make sure that people aren't people are looking to you to make the right decisions, but they're not counting on you to tell them what to do every step of the way. You want that insight and you want that creativity to come from the people that are closest to the action, which is often the people on the front line. And it's a very important balance to be a strong leader and to go in and open up the organization so that it collaborates and so that it creates, while not sort of imposing all of your ideas upon them.
And yet one of the most challenging things is I think everyone has an idea of what it, being a good boss would be, and yet when you get in those shoes, it's so much more difficult than really anybody can ever imagine unless you've actually worn them.
Yeah, I think that's right. Every day there are a few curveballs that come your way. But what I have found is that when those difficult situations arise, one of the most important things to do is to say, what are the principles we're leading by? What is the mission of the organization? And how do I use these opportunities to reinforce that?